Data for Future has been here for over a year, and we are deeply inspired by our community, our speakers, our listeners, and would like to extend this impact and scale the project. So right now we're opening free positions, free volunteer positions to join our team, to involve more talent, and we offer you a stage to showcase and enhance your skills, amplify your portfolio, and also get mentored in data science or in other fields related to podcast production. So right now we're looking for social media manager, an audio editor, and a web optimization or SEO specialist, those three positions. If you have some experience in those, if you feel like you want to learn with us, grow with us, please reach out on our website, dataforfuture.org. You can find a section called Join Our Team, and yeah, just send us a message and let's speak. And having said that, let's jump right into our episode. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Today, I'm very, very, very excited to welcome a new guest from a project connected to blockchain. I've been educating myself on this for a while recently. I think we've done just one episode before on blockchain. We didn't dive deep into it, and I'm very excited to touch this topic today. And today I'm welcoming Jory Ambruster. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. I also would like to ask you later where this name comes from. I think it's Dutch. And no? All right. Nope. But you can tell me later anyway. But I would like to present you Jory today, and thank you so much for coming. Jory is the co-founder and CEO of Ethic Hub, a company that eliminates major barriers in the capital flow throughout the globe through use of blockchain and technology and cryptocurrencies. And this way, the company connects investors in developed countries with solvent farmers in developing countries, and benefits both parties, because for investors, it's higher yields, and for farmers, it's lower interest rates. So it's a win-win situation. And I'm very happy to have you on our show, Jory. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting. And Jory comes from José Ricardo.
But your last name?
Ambruster is that is German, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I meant the last name, not the. But I didn't know about José Rodríguez either. Well, anyway, it's very nice to meet you. And I don't know if you want to add anything else to my introduction. I'm sure you will have much more to say about the project.
I mean, I am full-time into crypto. There is blockchain, there is crypto. It's slightly different. And I am more in the crypto space. Mm-hmm. And I am a believer about decentralization. This new technology allow us to create a more equal and decentralized society. It gives us tools for better governance, for creating incentives and to change things, you know? So we have to use it in a good way to change things for better. Mm-hmm. And this is what we are trying to do at Ethic Hub.
Amazing. Before we jump into the solution, because I'm sure it's super interesting and I would really like to know how it works in as much detail as we have as we can in these 30 minutes more or less of this interview. But let's rather start with the problem, because I think you're solving something very big, something very global. And how did you come to the idea to work on this problem, on giving, as far as I understand, banking access to these previously unbanked people? Maybe I'm overseeing other problems in this space. So how did you arrive to this problem? How did you learn it? And why not any other one?
So I am half Mexican, half Spanish. Previous to Ethic Hub, I was working in Spain, running a wholesaler, nothing to see with Ethic Hub. Mm-hmm. Previous to that, I was managing my family's coffee farm in Mexico. And so I know about coffee. I know the situation of this our neighbor, no, these smallholder farmers. I never could understand why they had to pay so high interest rates, no, when in the other side of the world people are happy with so low returns. So it, for me, it was a nonsense. And when I decided I wanted to start my own project, I did an innovation degree. I met their blockchain on 2016. I fall in love with blockchain and the potential of this technology. And I think Hub is a bit of connecting all these ideas. No, I know about coffee. I don't understand why small coffee producers have to pay so high interest rates. I can be a bridge to the developed country because I am half Spanish and I know investors in Europe, etc. So basically, that is how the idea came. And I work on many ideas, and at the end, this one was like, okay, here I can add value personally.
That's very interesting. And I guess this is how the best ideas are actually created. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, the technology is just a tool. It's just like a hammer. The question is how you use the hammer. I think it's an amazing cause that you've chosen in any case. So could I describe it as, in a way, also exploitation, right, of the coffee producers? It's a bit of an unfair system, I would say, right?
Yeah, I mean, part of the why behind, no, is it's not only unfair, but it's a nonsense that these have to pay huge interest when they have a profitable activity and they have to pay and they are good payers. No, the default rates are super low. In 3 years of history in EthiHub, we have 1% default. So there is basically no defaults. And a bit of the why is blockchain allow us to create a new financial system. So what is the main biggest problem of the previous financial system? That it left excluded almost 1/4 of the world population. So that's why, and most of this quarter of the world population, the so-called unbanked, are smallholder farmers. And this is why we are focused on using this fantastic and amazing tool to change their situation.
Amazing. And so, yeah, let's discuss the solution. How exactly does it work?
So basically, I mean, this is like, first we create collateral because people feel like uncomfortable, like it is a huge risk to lend to somebody in the other side of the world. So how we mitigate this? We have created a crypto collateral, a liquid collateral, a smart contract-based collateral. So if they don't pay, you get your money back because there is a compensation system that is many times collateralized the debt. Actually, at least today, no? In the future, maybe it's only one time or two, but for now it's like 100 times. And how we created this collateral with our own token, the ethics. So when a cooperative of farmers or a company working with smallholder farmers, what we call originator hubs or loan originators, they want to access the liquidity, they want to ask for a loan, they have to put some skin in the game. And they have to buy ethics and stake or put it as collateral. No? And then also the auditor, who is the stakeholder who selected this cooperative of farmers or this company working with farmers or this NGO working with farmers, also, since they are betting for them, they will have a fee from if the cooperative pay back. They also have to put some skin in the game and buy ethics and deposit as collateral for the loan originator. And finally, the community of EthiHub is invited to provide the remaining collateral, so the loan is fully collateralized. But this is one-to-one, and ethics can have volatility. So we have a second level of collateral that is the compensation reserve. That is the 50% of our token supply was designed for this topic, no? Because we want, the main target of our token is to create collateral. That's why we reserve 50% of the token supply for creating collateral.
So those 50% are the tokens, the crypto. It's a crypto, not a fiat, not actual money.
Yeah. So the collateral is with our token, but when they ask for a loan or when you want to lend them money, this is in dollar base, in DAI. This is a stable coin which value is $1, and you get 8% for now. Maybe in the future is more or less depending on the demand or the offer.
But the main idea is that like collateral is basically a safety net. If someone cannot, if the loan taker cannot pay, there are several steps and mechanisms how you can prevent loss of that money, so you can get the money back as investor. And maybe before we jump into next further, like the topics down the road about cryptos and blockchain, I know we cannot spend the whole episode explaining what's blockchain. It's a huge topic. Maybe could you give us a very brief introduction related to Ethic Hub, how exactly it works and why it is important to make it a blockchain platform and not, you know, any other one?
Okay, so in one side, blockchain allow us to give more transparency, traceability, immutability, efficiency with the smart contracts. So this is part of the why, no? This is the lending activity, no? But at the end, what is really amazing about blockchain is not blockchain itself, but the crypto incentives. Meaning, if you create Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is, 21 millions, I sell only 21 millions, it is scarce, and there is a nice technology behind that is blockchain. So you can be sure that you are buying one out of 21 million, and that's it. It wouldn't have worked. What it makes Bitcoin amazing is that it incentivizes the miners to secure the network. So the network is so secure that people is confident putting their money into the system. So there is more demand for the Bitcoin. So the Bitcoin have value, and so the incentive for the miners is higher. So more miners are willing to secure the network. So this is what is called an incentive loop. And this incentive loop is created with a crypto incentive, that is the Bitcoin itself. So the same logic applies for us. We want the ethics to be the incentive for the loan originators and the auditors to secure the network. Because the better job they do selecting loan originators, the more attractive is the platform, because more lenders are willing to enter because the risk is lower. So the ethics is worth more. So the ethics in the compensation system increases in value. So the system is more secure. So more people are willing to lend in the system, etc., etc.
Okay.
And this only can be done with a token, no? And a token can be done only with blockchain if it wants to be immutable. It has to be done with blockchain.
Okay. Thank you for that part. Just to summarize, like Ethic Hub doesn't use because anyone that might not be as familiar with blockchain as you are, Ethic Hub does not use the like dollar or euros to make, you know, to connect investors with the loan takers, but it uses cryptocurrency called Ethix, a token that is secure, that is fast, that is very transparent. The system is designed in a way that it's like this, secure and fast. And also apart from that, I've never looked at this way, but there is an incentive mechanism that makes people use the currency more in a very smart way. And this makes it even more stable, even more secure. And this is like a giant loop. So the more people use ethics, the more trustworthy is the whole system. And then, the bigger is the gains are for the farmers and for the investors. But I think it's blockchain is amazing. It's a huge topic, so let's not to spend too much time on it. If you want to learn about blockchain, there are lots of great sources. Maybe you can recommend us some of them later to put in the show notes. But for now, let's move forward and yeah, like, how did you build this platform? Like, are you a coder yourself? How was this journey for you to create this project?
No, the first stage of as an entrepreneur, no, is to find the team you need.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm not a developer, and I'm not also a salesman, and I'm not also a a local node working with the farmers. No, so I had to join together all the people needed for creating Ethic Hub, and I'm very proud of the team we have.
Uh-huh.
In Ethic Hub, and which is not only capable but aligned with what we are doing. No? And we have had troubles, because at the end, as a startup, you always have good days and bad days.
Of course.
And it's amazing how the people was able to always accept that we are learning in the way, and we have to change things, and we have to accept sometimes even not to get a salary during some stages of the mm-hmm. project, no, because at the end it was not working, so we have to pivot, and during that pivot we don't have much, so we have to continue working until we find a way out of that moment.
How many people are you right now on the team?
We are now 10 people full-time plus 5 uh-huh. part-time.
Okay. Well, I imagine people are very committed, as you say. Probably because you have a very good mission as well that unites the people. A very good vision, right? Purpose behind the project, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing in the long term. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the beginning it's more difficult, no? Not just to search for people that really is aligned with not only in capabilities but in values.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long term, I think it's very worth it.
And how would be the vision for the project? I mean, if you look at this, you know, 10 years ahead, how would you like to see the whole global system, at least the part that you can influence with your work? What would be, like, you know, the perfect state of it?
Well, I wish for sure that we accomplish our mission, no? to really change the system, so we include these over 1 billion people into the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, we became a reference for other projects to understand and to follow that this is not only about money, no? About creating, okay, I built a startup and I became rich. Okay, that's cool, but it's only money. It's even more important that if you are solving a problem for the world. No?
Of course.
And can be compatible, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that, you know, you're not only solving a problem for the world, but it's also sustainable. I mean, you're like a social enterprise, which makes it robust. And mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, congrats for the project and for your team. It's amazing to see you guys moving forward. And I would actually like maybe you to make let's create this flow of actions that we need to take. Imagine me as a client. I have some, you know, money that I would like to invest. I'm sure there are also many young investors. When we say investors, we don't, you know, it's not about super rich people who have tons of money that want to invest somewhere. It's ordinary people like, you know, like you and me, and you, the listener as well. So let's imagine I want to invest into, you know, and support this cause. How exactly does it work? So do I go to your website and sign up and add my credit card? What are those steps?
So basically, we have you can do three things in Ethic Hub. No, first thing you can do is, and this is the easiest one, is you go to ethichub.com and to the shop, so shop.ethichub.com, and buy coffee from the farmers.
Okay.
And this is roasted coffee for particulars, but only in Spain, Portugal, and France. If you are a roaster, you can buy green coffee to roast. And this is like the product marketplace.
But is it made by the farmers that you support?
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Amazing.
But this is not our target. This is like part of our project, no? One of the pilots we are doing.
Okay.
The other two things you can do that are core to our project is you go to Lent, no? app.ethihub.com, and under you see the projects and you say, okay, I want to Lent. So you have to register for sure. And if you don't have crypto, you just put the Visa. I want to Lent 100 euros. So this is converted into DAI, that is dollar. And, and you will receive back 100 a day. I mean, depends on the time, no? Because it's 8% yearly. So if it's 6 months, you will receive back 100 and...
Wow, it's 8% yearly for everyone.
Yeah, in the lending for now is like that, yes. And the third thing you can do, and is even more core to our project, is, and this is more difficult, you buy ethics and you stake ethics on behalf of the new loan originator or the compensation system, no? On the compensation system. So you are providing collateral for the loan originator. And here, you are having a huge return. I think nowadays is like 70%, but with our token, with the inflation of our token. As the example I was explaining before with Bitcoin, as a miner, you get a huge return. Where does that return come from? From inflation at the beginning. With the time, it's only with the fees. But at the beginning, you have inflation, and this inflation is for incentivize the new miners in Bitcoin, and in Ethic Hub is for incentivize you, the guy who buy ethics and stake on behalf of the new loan originators.
And this is proof of stake, right? So this is not like in Bitcoin where you need to solve some equations with your computer. So that's called mining, that you verify transactions. In this case, you put some ethics, you put some cryptocurrency to support someone else's transaction and say, okay, if this doesn't work, this money will be paid to the investor if something goes wrong. And this way, there are new ethics created that I will get in the end as a verifier or as a collateral.
If everything goes well, you get 70% return now. This is volatile return. And volatile capital also, because the ethics has a lot of volatility. But and in exchange of that huge return, if farmers don't pay, you lose your ethics. You can lose your ethics.
There is some risk involved, yeah. Wow, that's a very sparse system. And now that you understand it a bit more, it's pretty amazing. Really cool.
Thank you.
And on the other hand, okay, let's finish this path. So, okay, I invested, or maybe I decide to stake, to convert my, you know, dollar, euro, whatever, into ethics, stake, get that percentage if everything goes well, and then I just convert it back into the fiat, the normal currency, like euros or dollars. Okay. No, sounds pretty simple, actually. There's nothing, no rocket science involved. And so, on the other hand, I had one question regarding the farmers. So, as you said, there are, you know, quarter of the global population, I think it's around 1.7 billion people throughout the globe that are unbanked. They have no bank account. They store everything in cash. They have no, you know, access to any banking services. They cannot send money, so on and so forth. This is a huge problem, obviously. And you are helping those kind of people with this project to get the necessary funds to grow their businesses. One of the problems, as far as I understand, that these people face is lack of education. They live in very far away rural areas. So how is their response to this, you know, techie new technology that you bring to them? Like, is it hard to teach how it works and how they can be part of the system And what is their response? I'm really curious about that part.
Yeah. At the beginning, we tried to work directly with the farmers and was impossible to scale. Mm-hmm. So we took that decision to move into working with cooperatives. So we can teach the responsible or the manager or the administrator of the cooperative. And this is a person who has some education, and has a computer and everything which is needed. No? And we are not working anymore directly with the farmer. We are providing working capital for these cooperatives or companies or NGOs working with farmers. And we supervise that at the end the money arrives to the farmers, but we are not working directly with the farmers anymore.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's super interesting. Okay. So there is some kind of organization that's local, right? And they put themselves in contact. Oh yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Related to this question that I just asked, you know, you as someone who knows more about the crypto and has seen the development of it, do you see this as a practically a door opener for those 1.7 billion unbanked people? You know what I mean? Like, do you think it can really scale as much that all of these people will get access to the banking system someday?
Yeah, I think so. I really think uh-huh. so. I mean, even with the traditional financial system, with fintechs, they were more and more going to this unbanked. And the number of people excluded from the financial system was reducing and reducing and reducing. And now with this technology, not only us, no, it's too ambitious to be say that only us will do it. No, we will be a lot of projects working in this, mm-hmm. Capitalizing on this new technology and mm-hmm. accelerating the way this unbanked can join the global economy.
And what stops crypto from becoming that powerful thing to give the access to all of those people? Like, why is it not yet?
This is better technology for financial system. That's it, mm-hmm. And that's my position. And it is growing exponentially. I mean, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, DeFi is. Decentralized finance, mm-hmm. no? and means finance using smart contracts and crypto, etc. No? And the money under management of these smart contracts 2 years ago were like 300 million. And mm-hmm. 1 year ago was like 3 billion. And now is almost 200 billion. So it's growing super exponentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, you cannot change everything in one day, no? But it's like the adoption of internet. It could not reach everyone in 1 year. It took 20 years or something, no? But this time we are going even faster than the internet.
Okay, it just needs time. All right, I see your point. Yeah, I think it's a very valid point.
No, and user experience and confidence and more liquidity and more support from mm-hmm. institutions, etc. No, a lot of issues have to be solved.
Yeah, but it moves in that direction. That's the main part. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, Jory, I thank you so much for this introduction, for this walkthrough. From all the process that, you know, how Ethic Hub works. I just have three last questions for you. And two of them are kind of fun questions that I just, you know, wanted to ask. And the first one is, if you met Satoshi Nakamoto, this is the creator of Bitcoin, who actually no one knows. No one knows who it is for sure. What would you tell him, her, or them?
I just would say thank you, no? Because I think... this will be recorded in history, like an mm-hmm. inflection point for humanity. I always say that maybe the two most important inventions in the history of humanity are writing and double accounting that allow for creating companies mm-hmm. and was the foundation for capitalism, industrial revolution, etc. And now blockchain. So it's like a crazy thing.
Just to make sure, like, you know, this is the same kind of potential, like double accounting and literacy, I mean, writing and the blockchain. I mean, yeah.
Blockchain in some way is three entry accounting. No, is you have the accounting of the seller, the accounting of the buyer, and the accounting between both of them. The payment, it is recorded in a public and immutable database. No.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Well, the second question I wanted to ask you is also kind of a fun one. Imagine you could write something on a huge billboard if, 100 million people will read it. What would you write there?
I would say, like, you have a superpower that is your money. So use your superpower to buy and invest in a meaningful way so that you change the world for better.
I think I would stop, and if there was a link to Ethic Hub, I would definitely search for it. Amazing. Last question is just for you to, you know, share your contacts, and if people want to reach out, if you need any help, please, this is the time as well to let our audience know if there is someone who can, you know, help you out with any kind of thing. And yeah, how people can find you, the company, and anything else you want to let us know.
We are for sure active in Telegram, mm-hmm. in LinkedIn, in Twitter, in Facebook, in Instagram, and especially in Telegram, we are engaging with the community. So if you have any questions, you can ask there, and in 5 minutes, somebody asks, maybe not even from the team, but part of the community, who is very engaged. And if you want to some way join Ethic Hub, for sure, you can do it becoming a user, for sure, buying coffee, lending to the farmers, or buying ethics and staking in the compensation system. But also, we always need help connecting with big lenders, with crypto funds to buy ethics, no, or to, and especially coffee roasters, no, so, because at the end we want the farmers not only to have access to loans, but then also sell their crops in better conditions, and we need roasters in that behalf. For now, that we are working with coffee, in the future we will need coffee chocolate producers or whatever. No?
As always, you will find everything in the description. We'll leave all the links. Also, later you can tell me if there are any other sources, how you would, you know, suggest to start educating oneself on blockchain, maybe, on those kind of topics. I'm sure you have some good resources. And yeah, thank you very much, Jory. It was a pleasure to have you on our show. And yeah, have a great rest of the day.